Romans 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love to us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Praise God.
Well, welcome to our series with the daunting title, Church Builder. That's not me, that's Jesus. And I think that's probably the whopping disclaimer that we need to put right at the beginning of our series, is that Jesus is the church planner. He's the one who said he'll build his church. But this series, Church Builder, it's going to go through the things which are essential building blocks for a good and healthy church, the things that we want to see in this 2020 church plant. And I, in case you hadn't already gathered, am the church plant, the proposed church planter for 2020 church plant. My job is to take people like the Milano family and try and motivate them to join the church plant. And here I am trying to motivate you to join the church plant. So just have a read of this, and this is probably my most powerful point in trying to get you motivated to join this church plant. I'm capable. I am strong. If I believe in myself, I can turn my dreams into a plan. Oh, there it is there. I can turn my dreams into a plan and my plan into a reality. Feeling motivated? There you go. Off we go. I'm supposed to be very good at motivating people. The DISC, I don't know if you know this thing, but the DISC behaviour assessment tool tells me that I'm a high I. That means I'm in that top right quadrant. So I'm good at influencing people. I'm outgoing, enthusiastic, optimistic, lively, spirited, high-spirited and lively. So that means I can influence people. But actually, when I think about this, about my job to motivate people, when I think about my influencing skills, I realise that actually I don't want to go too far in that direction. I don't want to release all of my powers. I want to be a bit careful when it comes to influencing you and motivating you, because I think this church will fail if it's me motivating you, if it's me influencing you, if you come along because Luke made it sound so fun, it's so new and so shiny, if I did some DISC mind trick on you. Now, actually, I want people to be motivated, and I want to motivate people by seeing that they are gospel intoxicated. I want people to be motivated to join this church plant because they are gospel intoxicated. That means they love the gospel. It fills their hearts, their minds, their souls. They want to live for the gospel, give everything for the gospel. And they want others to have the pleasure of living for the gospel too. So that's our number one building block. Our church plant must be full of people who are gospel intoxicated, because then they'll have hearts that are for those who are different, loving the different people. They'll be full of grace, undeserved kindness, and compelled to reach out. That sounds like a great church to me. That's the sort of church that that we want to plant. So here's a big idea. Being gospel intoxicated means that we will have hearts for those who are different, that are full of grace and are compelled to reach out. So point one. Well, there's my 3 points. First point, the gospel gives us a heart for those who are different. Second point, the gospel gives us grace. And third point, the gospel makes us reach out. I'm pointing here, is that right? Yeah, there we go. So point one, the gospel gives us a heart for those who are different. Well, God has always had a heart for those who are different. We know this because God has always had a heart for us. He loves us. He loves humans, though we are so different to him. We're created and commanded, us humans. Weak, stupid, small humans. Disobedient, disloyal, sinful humans. Under a righteous curse, humans. But God has always loved us humans, had a heart for us, has a heart for us humans. And so when God made a people for himself, a nation that was given the role of going to cursed humanity and bringing his blessing, that nation of chosen people on their way to becoming that great nation of Israel, traveling to the land of Canaan, in Exodus 12:37 it says, there were about 600,000 men on foot, beside women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. God's people, Israel, were a different people, full of different people from different places. A mixed multitude. I don't know if you've realized it, but when God's people, Israel, were formed together on that great national day, gathered to Mount Sinai, they were a mixed multitude. And God was committed to that multi-ethnic ministry, committed to loving them, all of them, and using them to bring his love to the world. Deuteronomy 7 verse 7 says of this nation Israel, it was not because you were more in number than any people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. His love was set on them, fixed on them, and set on loving them because he loved them. He loved them because he loved them. That's what it says, Deuteronomy 7, 7. And they, as Israel, God's people, were commanded to love like him, and so love the different people too that God loves. Listen to Leviticus 19:33. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And the book of Ruth illustrates this beautifully with the story of a godly Israelite man named Boaz who shows God's love to a poor Moabite widow, including her in his family and the blessings of his people, which later we're told in the Bible's storyline will become really common, this inclusion of people in God's people and so including them in God's blessing. Through the prophet Jeremiah in 600 BC, God spoke of the future saying, after I have plucked those outside of Israel up, the foreigners, the different people, I will again have compassion on them, and I'll bring them each to his heritage and each to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built up, blessed in the midst of my people. So God has always had a heart for those who are different. God's people were actually full of lots of different people. And Israel was commanded to love those different people. And so it's no surprise that with God's love for the different, when the God-man and perfect Israelite came to us, when Jesus came to us, Jesus loved the different. It was the sick, so the lame, the blind, the bleeding, the demon-possessed, the people who were outside the city, not allowed in the temple. Jesus included them. He went to them and he touched them. He talked to them and he healed them. He loved them. Tax collectors and prostitutes, those guys hated by everyone, poor things, but loved by Jesus. The tax collector, remember, he's the corrupt businessman, hated by Rome because he was a Jew, hated by Jews because he worked for Rome, but loved by Jesus. The prostitute, poor, desperate, used and abused by men, but loved by Jesus. And befriended by Jesus. Jesus spent quality time with these people. They said about Jesus, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's Matthew 11:19. And while we usually point out, rightly so, that Jesus' earthly ministry was all about the Jews, actually he had some pretty powerful interaction with the Gentiles, those different from the Jews. He healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, Gentile centurion's servant. In Mark 5, he travels through the Gentile region of the Gerasenes, showing God's love. That's Mark 5. He ministered in a Samaritan city. That's John 4. But most importantly, and this is John's gospel now, when a group of Gentiles, those different guys, came to Jesus in John 12:20, it triggers the most important phase, we could say in the book, certainly in Jesus' ministry, the phase where it's time for Jesus to go to the cross. For 11 chapters, Jesus has been repeating, it's not time yet, it's not time yet, it's not time yet. But when the Gentiles come, it's time. It's as if he's saying, I just can't delay this any longer. The Gentiles want to come to me, these outsiders, these different people. I love these guys. I've got to remove the barrier that would hold them back. I've got to go to the cross where he'll die for all the different people and rise for all the different people. Send his spirit to all the different people because he loves all the different people. God loves them. Jesus loves them, and through the gospel, by God's Spirit, we will love these different people too. Romans 5, we read it before, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And so when we are gospel intoxicated, we'll love the different people too. I don't personally know any corrupt businessmen or prostitutes, but there are plenty of people around that our society would say, oh, they're a bit different. There's the down and outs, the people who have no job or no home and so don't really exist in our world. They've been asked the question, what do you do? And said nothing, and so they get treated as nothing. The people with mental illness who don't interact with the world and others in a socially acceptable way and so are not socially acceptable. But to us who are intoxicated by the gospel, we have a heart for these people because they're different. We love different people. We'll accept them. They're the refugees, aren't they? I'm sure you've met a refugee or two, people who fled their country, often because they are different and so are unsafe in their home country. They come to our country only to be considered different again. Poor and traumatized back in their home country, now facing a different kind of poverty and a different sort of trauma, being considered different in this first world country. Well, we love them. We welcome them with the heart of Jesus. Include them, these different people. And then there's the international students coming to us in droves for study and then work. They've got a bit more money, but they're still away from their family, friends. They're here and they're different. They've got an extended family back home who've made massive sacrifices for them to be here. There's lots riding on their being successful. So much stress to be a success. Doesn't help that they're considered different when they come to our country. Well, we love those guys. We include those guys, even though they're so different. When we are gospel intoxicated, when we have God's love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we have a heart for those who are different. We will love the internationals, the refugees, the down and outs, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Point two, the gospel gives us grace. Grace, as you know, is undeserved kindness. But do you really know grace? Personally, deep in your heart, do you really think you've received God's grace? Have you really got undeserved kindness from God? Or do you think that you actually deserve it? Just between you and I, kind of do deserve it. Because you're pretty good, right? I'm looking at you. You look pretty good. You're witty. You're smart. Certainly better than other people. You work hard. You've got some very cool skills. Very useful skills. Actually, you get a lot of likes on social media. You've got good kids. Everyone always tells you you've done a great job with those children. And so some of us just can't help thinking, just quietly, okay, maybe we didn't totally deserve God's love, but we did just a little on account of our awesomeness. And so we miss out on seeing God's amazing grace. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to being right with God, when it comes to living God's way and doing God's work, these things, here's a surprise, are actually yours entirely, 100% by God's grace. Can you believe that? Goodness, if we could just get this into our thick heads, that we don't deserve God's love, we'd be so gospel intoxicated. So I'm going to try to help us here. I'm speaking to myself as well, please. I'm not pointing the finger. We don't deserve God's love. We were dead spiritually. We were enemies in our minds, maybe actively against God or passively ignoring God. We sinned, and we sin. We broke God's law. We broke God's heart. We broke the world. We broke one another. We don't deserve God's love. But he loves us. He made us alive, gave us new lives, eternal lives, lives as they should be lived lives. He made us friends together forever, living together, working together with him. He made us clean. Now we're able to come to him, able to have him come to us and call us his temple. In his grace. In his grace, he loves us. In his grace, he's graciously committed to loving us now and forever. So that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8:38. You know it, but do you know it? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God we receive on account of the gracious work of Christ for us. You don't deserve it. But Jesus does and ensures that it comes to you. New lives, friends with God, cleansed on account of the gracious love of God in the gospel. And so, we will love others as he does. When we are gospel intoxicated, we will love others as God loves. They might not do anything to deserve our love. They might not do anything to reciprocate or even thank us for our love. It doesn't matter. We're loving them with the gracious love of God. Do you know that God's grace is so powerful that you can even love each other? I know. Seriously, you can. You can love them when they don't use their manners. You can love him when he's grumpy. you can love her when she thinks she's so cool. You can love him when he smells. You can love her when she's passive aggressive. And they can love you. You! Truly, madly, deeply from God's heart. They could love you. It sounds crazy, and of course it does, but we are talking about being intoxicated. Gospel intoxicated. Bringing us hearts for those who are different, full of grace, an undeserved love that comes from God and fills our hearts. And so, point three, to your amazement, so amazing it won't even turn over. There we go. The gospel compels us to reach out. This is 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So point three, the gospel compels us to reach out with eyes for the different, with hearts full of loving grace. We're compelled to reach out. We won't be happy to stay in our homes, in our castles, with our renovated kitchen and our brand new blue blinds. They're a little bit too blue, actually, and the perfect garden. We won't be happy to stay in our church with our folk, who we're finally getting to know and like, and we have a nice environmentally friendly building. We'll not be happy to stay in Huntingfield, Summerlees, Kingston, whatever you want to call it, where we've got Big W, Woolies, Coles and Salamanca Fresh. We'll find ourselves unable to resist the urge to go where the different congregate, where people are most ready to receive God's loving grace, and where we can most easily reach out. One of my favourite crusty old missionary quotes comes from C.T. Studd, famous cricketer and missionary to China about 100 years ago. And he said, "Some wish to meet within the sound of church or chapel bell, but I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." That man, he was gospel intoxicated. He wants us to understand that the best place for us to be is reaching out to people where all the action is, where the most number of non-Christians are within a yard of hell. For him, that was China. Where is it for us? It's not about the numbers, but it is totally about the numbers. We want to reach as many people as possible, rescue as many people as possible with the gospel of God's grace. Do you know where the numbers are? Can you guess? Do you know where the numbers are and always will be? It's the most concentrated amount of people. Most people so very different from us, who know the least about God's grace. Yeah, we need to go to the city. We need to reach out to the city. Perhaps not you personally, but Summerlees Church, we need to reach out to that city. Listen to Jesus' efforts to reach out in Philippians 2. It says, verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Are you gospel intoxicated? Then you'll find yourself reaching out like Jesus, not grasping Summerlees, but serving the lost with the gospel of grace. Just down the road, in our city, through the 2020 church plant. Well, maybe you've been a bit distracted by whatever during this sermon and you just woke up. We've just come in at the end and you just heard me say that and you said, "What?" And now you're thinking, "Whoa, that's not my gig. Church with these Hobart people. Yuck. The down and outs, the refugees, the students. Can't imagine being one of those people who's going to go and join that plant. Luke needs to do some pretty powerful motivating to get me down there." I don't want to motivate you to come with the 2020 church plant. If I motivate you to come, I'll disappoint you. Sorry about that. You'll drop away. When I feel less motivated, you'll feel less motivated and we'll both stop coming. Something else motivates you, like, you know, somebody's too fashionable for me, no one appreciates me there, you'll drop away. But if the gospel motivates you, if you go to the city because you're gospel intoxicated, then you'll stay there. And the church plant will succeed and I won't even need to turn up, because Jesus has turned up. He's suffered, he's died, he's risen, he's sent his Spirit to you. Because Jesus loves the difference in his grace and so reaches out, you'll love the difference in his grace and reach out. If you're gospel intoxicated, please consider coming with us to Hobart in the 2020 church plant. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we ask that you would have all of us in this room gospel intoxicated. Thank you for loving us, though we are so different from you, so limited and so sinful. Thank you for, in your grace, sending the Lord Jesus to live and die and rise for us. Thank you for sending the Spirit to us so that we might love like you, with grace, loving those who are so different from us, eager to reach out to those who don't know your loving grace. We pray that you bless our desires to plant that 2020 church. We pray that you give us 25 people from this church. We pray that these 25 would go because they are gospel intoxicated and so give a great start to a new and exciting opportunity to reach this city for the glory of Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.